this long section on the role of the parables is obviously expanding the whole way that the Son of God deals with us. We're in a section of Matthew now where he's beginning to trace the rejection of Israel, how Israel rejects the Messiah. And there's two things going on here. One is the totally unmerited favor given to the disciples. Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. Pure mercy, pure gift. And then these texts from Isaiah, in which we see this sense of the grossness of heart. And again, of course, the key word that I mentioned yesterday, understand. Huh? In that quote from Isaiah, you shall hear but not understand. And at the end, they've closed their eyes and their ears, lest they understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. And then, mercy. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. And blessed are your ears, because they hear. I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it. Longed to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And again, pure mercy. So we have here this mystery. Why did our Lord speak in parables? Well, he just gave us the answer. You see, parables are the, they're like the narrative concentration of truth. To speak in parables, to tell these mishalim, as the rabbis would call, that's typical of the Jewish way of teaching. There are, if you read the Talmud, the Mishnah, all that sort of thing, especially the expositions of Scripture, there are lots of parables in there. They're not as profound as our Lord's, but then, you know, he is the Son of God. But it's the same notion. And so, think of the parables. Think of the impact on you of the prodigal son. Think of that parable. That's a parable. It's a story about who God the Father is, without ever saying a word about God the Father. And so we have here this, as Matthew is organizing his gospel, you see, so that finally the rejection of Israel becomes complete. They crucify him, or have him crucified. But God doesn't give up. You know, he still is committed to his people. That's the mercy. And so we have this this text here. Let's just talk for a moment, because this is addressed to us. Jesus preached this word to us today. That's what the Vatican Council tells us, right? Whenever the gospel is read out, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. It's not Father Francis. It's Christ. And here it is. So, he's teaching us, I think, this morning, A, the supreme gift of mercy. But what does it consist in? Understanding. Understanding. You see, we have to try. We have to spend time. Lord, what does this mean? Talk to me. Because you see, if our understanding changes, then we can change. But it is so important. And that is what revelation is. The revelation, not the great revelation, the scriptures. The revelation given to us day by day. The Lord speaks to us. He guides us. He brings us alive in our life. Now, there's a mystery in the spiritual life. We got to try hard. We do. And the reward of trying hard is to discover that it was the work of the Lord all along. But if we say, I think I'll wait for the Lord to act. My friends, He's acting. Incessantly acting. To open up these things to you is granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? The Trinity. Creation. The plan of salvation. The incarnation of Jesus. The wonder of Mary. The gift of the Eucharist. The goal of all human life. What God is doing today in this world amidst the war and the panic and the hatred and the... Those are the mysteries. To you, it's granted to know them. I'd rather read the Washington Post. That's our problem. That's our problem. You see, that's how our hearts get gross. We wait for the grace of the Lord. It's here, friends. It's here. We have been given the grace. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. To see, for instance, the body of Christ coming alive. To hear what you hear. Jesus Christ proclaiming through many different people, I am coming back. Now. Not that which ends the world. But I am coming into the hearts and souls of all those who will accept me. And together, in suffering and joy, we are going to make this world safe again for God's children. I am going to do it. You want to join me? Come along. I am going to do it. Well, what am I supposed to do? Come and ask me. I'll tell you what to do. Come and ask me. It's that simple. And what about this, you see? Try. Well, he's going to give us the explanation of the parable tomorrow, but you know it anyway. But what is it really talking about? You see, talking about the mercy of God. The mercy of God pushing us. Our God has huge plans to make us saints. Huge plans. All we have to do is say, look, I'm scared to death, but I sign on. Yeah. I've only got this life. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. So I want to do that, Lord. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, there I can be a saint. And then produce 30, 60, 100-fold. How? God knows. God knows. You know, right now, somewhere, there is somebody dying of cancer in the poor ward of a hospital. Right now. And they are transformed and on fire with love. And nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. And God looks down and says, that one is holding the world together. The reason why there hasn't been an atom bomb blown up yet in all this conflagration over there in the Middle East is because of that one. Oh, I'll help the politicians. Oh, I'll help the ecclesiastics. I'll help anybody who wants to help. There's the one. Why? because he loves me.